All right. Here we are.
All right.
In different Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
All right. All right.
It's a split Matthew McConaughey. We each get one. All right.
All right.
It's split where Tawny says it first and then Andrew and I both say it at the same time.
All right.
Yeah, we also call that all a Supremes.
We don't do enough backup podcasting.
Yeah, there needs to be more like unison and harmonized backup podcasting. Mm-hmm. That should be a thing.
I guess it actually is kind of how we do podcast at the end of episodes of Yo Can We Live.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The premium show that you can go to suboptimalpods.com. And subscribe to help us out. You know,
Andrew ever since we've gone
independent, we've been, you know, we thank everyone for their support. And you know, it's just another show where we don't talk about racism, except for I talk about racism all the time, but we talk about other stuff. But, you know, Andrew usually doesn't, to be honest. Let's be fair.
It's a
anyway, suboptimalpods.com.
Chill vibe. If you like the hangout vibe of this show, that's all that one is. Somebody, actually, a friend texted me and said that, was it last week's episode? No, that was Joey. The week before with Matt, they said, wow, this week's Yo had a real Yo Can We Live vibe. And I was like, nice. That's fun every now and then to not have the most crushing news stories and actually be able to keep shit light.
That's Mr. Yeah. Matt for you.
That's Mr.
Good
Matt.
Good Mr. Matt for us.
Mm-hmm. Aw, coming in. Kicking off Spooktober.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys have your Halloween costumes yet?
Oh, I got a tree. I decorated a tree. Am I not
so do
to
I.
Do, I
right
have them mixed
camera.
Up. Oh, okay. I wear a
you
costume
a Halloween
on Christmas.
Oh.
I put up a tree on Halloween. At Thanksgiving, I hide a bunch of rotten eggs around my house. Christmas, I get all dressed up like my favorite ghoul. Mm-hmm. And
Santa Claus.
My favorite ghoul, Santa Claus. My favorite undead specter, gift-bringing specter, Santa Claus. And then, for New Year's, I buy all my back-to-school clothes. Just a way
some
I
of those
keep things
I knew
fresh.
It.
Some of those work better than you think. New Year, new clothes? That's all right. That one people probably do.
New Year, new
probably,
clothes.
Probably. They should.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, everybody. If you're still wearing last year's clothes, get new clothes.
Get them
it's
out.
A new year.
Get them out. You need to get yourself a brand new Chippendale dabbing t-shirt.
Oh, wait, Andrew, we have to discuss the t-shirt.
Oh, my God.
The 7,500 tweets we
oh,
got.
Oh, God.
Oh, this my is God.
So fucking depressing that the level of engagement. So last week, we talked
Wait,
about...
Wait, 1 second. Sorry, this is the show Yo Is This Racist, where me, Tawny Newsome, him, Andrew T, and our producer, Kevin Bartel, listen to your voicemails about racism with the help of a special guest or guests. I can't believe this is the first time we actually... But first, we talk about news and apparently Andrew's t-shirts.
I forgot.
I cannot believe that you got the premium show Suboptimal Pods plug in before the intro to the show. That has got to be some kind of a record. Okay,
it's
please
a, it's an ad. This is... If people listen to that and are still listening... They're in. They need
in,
to listen to us. Yeah, they're hooked, as they say. It's like the this thing I read. Hopefully not by. I'm about to say it, and I'm like, I'm about to say a thing that feels like it was written by Malcolm Gladwell, and then I'm like, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe it wasn't, and maybe I'm misremembering. But I feel like I read a thing that was about how like. You know how like those like spam emails are always like sort of logically wrong and have spelling errors and whatever.
Sure.
And someone, the thing I read was arguing that that's the point. It's not like an accident, but it is just sort of like a pre-filter. Like if you fall for the first step of the scam,
whoa.
Even when the email is like, you know, all fucked
wild.
Up. Yeah, you are much more likely to fall for it,
whoa.
For it to work. So they don't. If you send something that looks too official, you have to spend all your time weeding out people who will eventually like figure it out.
Interesting.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's too much work. So
that is way too
you
much
get
work.
You get many fewer hits, but the hits you get
are higher.
You can scam those people.
Oh,
sounds
wow.
like the premise
to
the new
the
Matrix movie.
Yeah. I mean, I
Matrix
feel like
trilogy, the, weed out the smarties.
What is, I mean, the Matrix world's version of, you know, I feel like the Matrix movies went to big pains to be like, this is all the different parts of the internet, but just in Matrix style. They didn't do scammers. Yeah.
They didn't do scam emails. You're right.
I spent 2 hours on FaceTime with my mom this week and teaching her the difference between a modem and a router. And I kind of felt like I was in the Matrix as well.
Yeah.
Just like watching her plug in an Ethernet cable. Cable. Watching her plug in an Ethernet cable and say, I'm in, was like cathartic.
I'm in. She's like, I know Kung Fu. I just watched The Matrix. Like,
I want to rewatch it. How was it?
The first one, it still slaps. Despite all the nutty Q people, every time I hear the term red pill, a shudder goes down my spine.
Uh-huh.
But I do like that Lily Wachowski on Twitter has been like, fuck you, anytime those people are like talking about her movie. It slaps. That movie is dope. Sorry, I interrupted Garfield shirt talk.
Oh, me my too. God. I straight up had forgotten that's where. All right, so last week, we had Joey Clift on, the premier Garfield. Oh, I have a correction generally, but then I do have a personal apology to offer for last week's episode. So I'll take them in order, please. Okay. If you're ready. So let's see. So listeners to the show will know that over the course of last year, ex-producer Zig and I have been buying a lot of, we'll call it like, bootleg Garfield merchandise, bootleg Garfield apparel from Etsy, bootleg. And I was under the impression, I was starting to suspect that what was happening was an algorithm was just generating shirts with just like clip art of Garfield and like random like quasi-socialist-y kind of phrases on it that don't really make a ton of sense. It culminated in me buying a shirt that said Fantasy Costco and a picture of Garfield on it. And so obviously that felt like it was simply just listening to my
podcast.
Podcast and my life. Just like figuring out, you know, the way like people are like, I just dropped a piece of tape, a roll of tape. That people are like, oh, Instagram is listening to you when you talk. That's what I thought maybe Etsy was doing, like the one of the robots behind Etsy. Anyway, none of that is true. Turns out, well, not none of that is true. All of that is probably true. But it turns out in this case, this is some shit from a McElroy Brothers podcast that I don't listen to, obviously. But, you know, we've had Travis on before. I think, you know, they are podcasts that are... in our world, sort of.
Yeah.
Fair.
We're like comedy neighbors, maybe.
Yeah. Comedy neighbors. I know Travis a little bit.
They live in a gated community, and we are, but we're technically neighbors. Anyway, there was, I guess what I will say, the proof is in the pudding, because there's certainly enough crossover between listeners of that podcast and our podcast that wanted to tell me that I'm dumb.
The response made it felt like we were in comedy bunk beds. I was couldn't believe
don't you know what your little brother is doing?
Exactly.
Yeah. More feedback than I think we've ever gotten on anything.
Any episode.
Any episode.
Honestly,
anything.
I prefer it. Please only engage with dumb shit like that. Please only correct us about a podcast from someone that we're friendly with. I never want to hear your takes on the racism voicemails. I just want you to correct us about a Costco Garfield shirt. Thank you so much. We love you.
But now I feel like I can't wear that shirt anymore.
Because you look like a super fan.
Well, yeah. And I don't even know really what's happening.
You think it's something nefarious?
Well, I just, you know, partially is because I got like props wearing it on the street. Like, and... I was like, yeah,
Valor.
Cool, right? Yeah, truly. But like, I'm realizing now it's like, what? I can't get into a conversation with that person.
No, you can't. This is like Nate wears a sports hat just because like he'll go to a game, like usually basketball, and he'll just buy a hat and he'll be like, oh, now I have this color hat. So he'll wear like a Celtics hat and people are like, Celtics? And he's like, nah, it's just a green hat, man. It makes people upset.
My girlfriend does a lot of embroidery and was recently asked to remove a Dodgers logo from a hat because they liked the LA part, but not the Dodgers part. And they keep getting asked to talk about Dodgers, and they're like, I don't know about baseball, I just like this hat. So she had to like unstitch a hat.
Isn't that, well, all right, this is, I'm going to show a little bit of my ignorance here, but I've, you know, I've ripped a seam before. Isn't that some shit you, I feel like embroidering something you should hire someone to do. Taking embroidery off feels like a lot easier. I'm sure I'm missing
something. I think on a hat, it's harder, maybe. That's my theory.
It's hard on a hat, it's harder.
The hard hat.
It sounds like they wanted it profesh.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, I feel like I could do it. Maybe I'm sure I'm being overconfident about something here. But
Andrew's like, figure your shit out, all you lazy millennials who hire people to unembroider your hats. Back in my day, we had to learn ourselves.
Yeah, just get a little seam ripper from your mom's, you know, sewing tin, which is one of those cookie tins.
Why don't you own one? Why does your mom have to have one? Why don't you own a sewing
tin? I'm just saying the last time I ripped a seam, I was at home as a child.
I bought Leah's birthday.
I could do it.
Was on Wednesday, and I bought her clamps for embroidering, and I looked like the most, like, abandoned stepdad gift of just like, here's those clamps you wanted. It just seemed like so lazy, but she really did want them, and she opened it up, was like, yes. But like, if anyone else were to see it, they'd be like, you just stop at like a Walgreens on the way home, like, what is this?
Yeah, what is this sad?
Did you just like pick this up on your way out of your shift at the factory?
Yeah,
like,
what is this gas station
swing
teddy
by
bear
home
clamps? shit.
Okay,
wait, and my personal apology is it turned out Jessica Gao had the receipts and she did originate all the Garfield stuff, and I believe I said,
knew it.
Tawny called it.
I was very convinced that I know.
You know,
she had the receipts.
I knew it because I know that Jessica would only out herself as a listener to both this show and the premium show if she was correct about getting some.
What is she doing all day? She's so busy. What the fuck is she doing listening to the
and
show?
And she texts with us enough. Jessica, you don't have to do this. There's several people I want to say you don't have to do this. You know who you are. One of you I just spoke to at length on a Sunday morning. Now I'm just like just subtweeting my friends, telling them you don't have to listen to this show.
Man. This is the most casual episode we've ever done, I feel like.
Let's get into some newsy things.
Well, the quick, easy one, Andrew Yang tweeted some stuff about like how both sides are to blame for this, and the only way to do it, to get out of our, you know, current path to, quote, civil war, is to follow his political party. Obviously, fuck that guy. Pretending that both sides are equally to blame for this is, I'm just saying, it's you people that have the stereotype that Asian people are smart, and I got a mountain of evidence on his Twitter feed to show you otherwise. So
damn.
And a mountain of evidence of shit that comes out of my mouth. Both.
Wow. Damn. Okay, and then we're stalling because, one, I don't,
because we're having
feel,
so much fun.
We're having a great time. There was a stand-up special. You all know what it is. I don't want to even look here. If you notice in the descriptions of our episodes, we tell Kevin to like take famous people's names out of it. It's not because we're like, well, maybe we're weasels, but it's mainly just because we don't want the horde of racists that name search these people in order to get into fights with us. Andrew, I have to tell you off mic about an invitation we just got to do a terrifying show that we turned down resoundingly.
We'll be doing.
Nope, we will not
look
be there.
We'll see.
But there, you know, there are these people that look to seek out shows like this and folks like us to just be like, debate me, coward, and then like make our lives hell for a little while. So. I am purposely, go ahead.
Oh, and I will just say also, it is like a thing that sort of regardless of the content of the thing, the perception of it is sort of turning into a fight between two marginalized groups, which is a false dichotomy, but it is what's happening. And so it's sort of increasingly difficult to say anything without like being, you know, called anti one side or the other. I'm comfortable. I think we were talking about this before, like just concentrating on like the bad faith parts of the argument, you know, what I tweeted, which is true for not just the big comedy special, but also many comedy specials lately, which is like, it's not, you know, it's not like brave to say the shit that's exactly on Fox News. Like, you might say it in a funnier way and you might have a different, you know, be a different race than most of the people on Fox News, but like, you know, and I don't
know. This isn't edgy. This is the mainstream. Like,
yeah,
hate and intolerance, especially for queer people, that is that's the mainstream. So it's not counter or edgy or anything to say the opposite of that just because you claim to have those folks as friends. I also think that anytime we frame LGBTQ issues as solely white issues, we are playing into the homophobia that still resides in the Black community, and we are pitting two groups against each other in order to do the work of the oppressor. We have said that over and over and over on this show about so many different instances, and it denies the experience, it denies the existence of queer people of color. There are Black there are Black gay people, and saying that sounds so simple and insane, but constantly framing LGBTQ issues as a white thing just completely denies their existence. And while that may seem innocuous in a comedy special, furthering that narrative does lead to the types of representation that people get to have on television, the types of roles that get written, the ways that people get to see each other, jobs people can get because folks just aren't accustomed to seeing them. I don't know. I'm sort of rambling, but because it feels so simple to talk to our audience about this, like,
yeah,
hey, guess what? Intersectionality exists. And our audience is like, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the conversation. That's the simple sentence that needs to be said at these huge levels where there's a huge comedy special watched by, I don't know, 50 million households? Who knows?
Yeah.
Person needs to be on that stage saying, but also intersectionality means that, you know, the Black struggle and the LGBTQ struggle are entwined when you are both of those things.
Yeah. And I believe for everyone always anyways, but
yes,
yeah, especially for sure. Yes. I was only halfway through it when we started recording, but Saeed Jones wrote something for GQ about it that was like felt very good. I'm gonna finish reading it, but I feel comfortable recommending that. I mean, I think that is maybe part of it too, is that there are like queer Black people, trans Black people who let's just say certainly have a better take and thought on this than, you know, us, and definitely better than a certain very famous, very rich comedian on, you know.
Yeah, Raquel Willis.
Actually, I feel comfortable saying I have a better take on this issue than every famous comedian because, you know, trans people of color don't get elevated to be household names as far as comedy, stand-up comedy goes.
So that's my main takeaway is when something like this happens, and if we want to have the conversation about like, do we hold white comics who say this same kind of reprehensible stuff to the same standard that we're holding this Black comic, that's a conversation I'm down to have because no, I don't think that we do. I think we are coming down harder on someone that we feel should be not us, you and me, that we feel should be more on our side because we're like, no, you get the struggle. Come on. Why don't you get this? Meanwhile, there's white comics doing this day in, day out that I don't even know their names because I'm not thinking about them. I was just going to say, I'm always down to have that convo, but my main takeaway is when these types of things trend or become hotly debated, I'm always like, look, all the celebrities tweeting their support of trans people is great. All of the white people, you know, condemning the remarks, fine. I need to go find the people that that are being talked about. Like, let's go hear from them because, so I just increase your follows for whenever someone starts getting attacked in a comedy special, just go find people to follow who have that experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe another thing that is a constant refrain on this show is like, you know, just because you're in one struggle as regrettably doesn't mean you get everyone's struggle.
Absolutely.
Even though it seems like you should. probably that extends to us. I mean, I think we're clearly less malicious about it, but there's some shit we don't get.
For sure.
You know, there's obviously shit we're wrong about all the time. Hopefully, like, we are clear about it and, like, make, you know, I don't think we're not, like, digging our heels type people. Because we aren't rich enough and we aspire to get there.
And I know that we joke, well, I always joke about how I'm like, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you guys online about shit. But it's because I do feel that we have a well-rounded group of people. Mainly because I'm like, I don't know you. I don't trust you. You know, I don't trust your intentions. So I'm not looking to get educated by a bunch of strangers when we have a rich group of very diverse voices around us that hold us accountable to things. And maybe that's me being lazy, but also I'm fine with it for now because...
I just feel the abuse
that it invites when you allow people to, even well intentionally, like when you allow all these strangers to correct you, is not for me.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, it is like, it's about shades and degrees, right? Like we have these kind of rules that we say because by and large, they are correct about what we want, how we want to fucking deal with people. But of course, there are just exceptions or like we're just, you know, making a guideline and it should be clear to people. You know what, it was less clear to people about the Garfield shirt than I thought, so maybe leaving it up to them is not wise.
You did not want that information, or you, because I think you're rich threefold now having that info.
I was rich threefold having the info once, twice, thrice.
Did the first 30 people bother you or the second 45?
it got a little, it was just a lot. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just do a little, just search and just see if the person you're about to tweet at has replied, thanks, I didn't know that, 30 times already. Just check.
Oh, just check. That's good advice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sometimes people have already said, thank you, I didn't know that.
Oh, interesting. This could be about Garfield or more serious stuff.
Mm-hmm. 30 is a lot.
Interesting.
But
30 is a lot.
I don't think it was 30, but it was. It felt like it did feel like a kind of all day. I was like, God damn it, another one.
I talked about this in a Star Trek interview, so I'm not like spilling any tea here. But there was a joke somewhere in season two, this season of Lower Decks, that my showrunner, Mike McMahon, wrote. And because of my deep affection for Star Trek and my, you know, somewhat deep knowledge of it, I knew that the joke was factually incorrect. He had me saying that this one character only had a first name and not a last name. And I was like, Mike, when these people tweet at me to tell me, when people tweet at me, like, at Johnny Newman, did you know that Odo actually has a last name? His last name is Ita. It's a Bajoran word for you do not exist or whatever the fuck. I'm like, I am going to tag you in to every single one. Because he refused to change the joke. And he was like, okay, bring it on. I think the joke still stands. And you know that only one person mentioned it? I was so disappointed in the mob.
What?
Normally you can count on the mob. Mm-hmm. Normally the mob will come swoop in and make your life hell about some small mistake. And I was
Is
so excited
to go. Is that the last line
go,
of that new Tony Sopranos movie?
Yeah.
Normally you can count on the mob.
I was excited to tag him in and be like, see what you've done. I knew this was wrong. I tried to save you from this. But no, they didn't. They minded their business, and I've never been prouder or more disappointed.
Do you think he was secretly managing that somehow?
Ooh, maybe.
couldn't stand up to the heat.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Anyway, that was a tangent about Star Trek. Oh, speaking of, there's a Lower Decks watch along with me and Mike in the Suboptimal Bundle. Sorry to plug Suboptimal Pods again, but
suboptimalpods.com. All you have to do.
That's right, suboptimalpods.com.
suboptimalpods.com.
I wasn't
for
making
all
fun
your.
Of you. I was making fun
all,
of me.
What? No.
I was making fun of me. I'm the one who said it wrong.
No, I said it wrong.
We're both a little sleepy.
This is the kind of discourse you can find on Yo Can We Live. Oh my God.
Anyway, what Mike and I watched the first episode. I think we fucking danced around the hard news so much There's so much, I have so many opinions about it that are not public opinions because I am not the person to voice them and I'm not informed enough on the issue. But like with friends and with family, I've been having these conversations. So to have a public platform where I know we need to talk about it, but I'm also like, we're not the people. Go, you need to find the people who are. I feel tangled. I feel like I'm in a tangled up in a parachute. So
it's like field day.
I'm deflecting and I'm talking about weird shit, like fucking obscure Star Trek references.
Yeah.
I'll just say two quick opinions. The first is that it really bothers me seeing people say, well, he's the most popular stand-up, as if that gives them an out, essentially, to say whatever they want. We've obviously seen that excuse used hundreds and hundreds of times over the last even 2 years, let alone 50 plus. And so CEOs and stuff saying, well, they're so popular, everyone loves them, doesn't make it okay. And then the other thing, which I'm sure a lot of people have experience witnessing, which is also very frustrating, is just because you have a one personal story doesn't mean you're not transphobic. Just because you've met one trans comedian and share a story doesn't mean you don't have problematic views on that whole discussion that you share. Is that you also really
have,
bothers
you can't
me.
Have just one token friend.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden say, well, I'm fine because here's, check out this story. It's like, people do that all the time and it's infuriating. And so I've just been seeing a lot of that discourse happening and it's like, that doesn't make it okay.
That's a good point, Kevin. I always think about times when I might have knowingly or unknowingly been a token for someone's problematic behavior. And thinking about the times that I like either laughed off a joke because I was at work and it was not, you know, super safe for me financially to stand up to the person, or any other myriad reasons why some white person said something wild and I like either let it go or implied that it was okay. I always think about then when they're in an argument 6 months later, 10 months later, are they using me and my, you know, co-signing as an excuse or saying like, oh, my coworker didn't mind or blah, blah, blah. So I always think about like what's implied in these I have a blank friend conversations. You don't know what that friend was thinking when you were doing your problematic shit. So that's one of the many reasons why that argument is just not useful.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about it on this show. Maybe it's been a while, but we're deep into like token friend inflation. One doesn't even come close to cutting it. I'm thinking double digits. You need like double digit friends before
22
you have
tokens.
A friend. Yeah.
It's like
all 22 tokens. The ghost that lives in the shed.
Okay.
Wow, we've gone long on part one. Let's take a break. Yeah. Listen to some voicemails.
And we're back. Here we are. Did you enjoy that ad? We sure enjoyed talking about it.
We loved it.
Here's a voicemail.
Hi, I go by Pistachio No. And I'm a cishet white guy, so off to a bad start there. But I do try to consciously be anti-racist, which leads to the story here. One time on OkCupid about 10 years ago, I called out this woman for posting a blackface photo. I was, like, shocked and incensed, of course. And I was like, let me be a good ally and call it out, which felt great until she told me she was black. And I looked at the next photo where she wasn't sweating under a spotlight in heavy makeup and just chilling in her apartment. And I was super embarrassed, obviously. And that's one of the dumbest things I've ever done. But was it racist? P.S. Andrew, did you try that banana cocktail? What do you think? Thanks. Love you guys. Have a nice day.
Thank you. A little follow-up about the banana cocktail.
We'll answer the second part first. I'd forgotten about it. So no.
Great. Asked and answered. First of all, I'm dying at this person describing their error and being like, oh yeah, and then I saw another picture of her, and then absolutely dragging her for fucking filth, being like, yeah, and she wasn't sweating under a spotlight and heavy ass makeup, just looking so uncomfortable and bad. Like, damn. You're still dragging this worse? Woman. I'd rather you think I was in blackface rather than being like, hun, your base doesn't match your neck. The lace front looks tired. Damn. No, I know that's not what you were doing. What do you mean you go by Pistachio? No.
Probably on Twitter or something.
It was probably a Twitter thing.
So what, is that just a pun?
You want me to look?
Maybe they tweet at us.
I don't know.
That feels, you keep talking, I'm looking.
I guess I'm like, were they saying that as being like, I already feel like I'm doing something racially weird?
I think it was like a, you might recognize me from liking your tweets. But maybe I'm giving them more credit than they deserve.
I don't know.
Twitter's not coming up with anything.
Huh.
Wow. They're off the grid.
Maybe it's someone who tweeted at me about this banana cocktail. Maybe.
We're so into the Matrix right now.
Ooh.
This whole episode is just called The Matrix, a review.
Yeah. Hold on. Do you think the new Matrix movie is going to have like the Matrix world's equivalent of podcasts?
Wow. Oh God! Did the machines learn to podcast?
It just feels like, you know, there's a metaphor for everything. They don't have scampers. They don't have
Agent
podcasters.
Smith has one of those true crime ones.
He's writing episode descriptions for Seth Rogen's new show. Like, Agent Smith, sure. What are you doing?
Oh my God, for sure.
I'm just saying, there's a lot more parts of the internet than since when The Matrix came out the first time.
You're right.
It's true.
Everybody in the Oracle's apartment, that's like Team Coco. The Spoon Kid. Anyway, I don't even know what that analogy is. I just wanted to say the Oracle and Team Coco in the same sentence.
Work for me.
You did it.
Does this man thinking this black woman was a white woman in blackface count as racism?
Oh my God. Why? I just don't understand.
I'm screaming.
I will just say, what really, and look, this goes counter to literally my entire personality as presented to people, but probably not my real personality, is like, why the fuck would you bother? Let's say it was a person in blackface. Like, what? If they put it on their goddamn dating profile.
Yeah, that's a Nazi. What,
in what world is there profit in engaging with this? You just block.
This is one of those things where, and you know, the caller said the words like, here I am being a good ally. Like, I took that as like kind of a tongue-in-cheek or self-deprecating tone. Because I think sometimes this, like, these fucking ally fights are so, seem like the most important thing you can do. And maybe we're kind of double talking you here, because sometimes it, you know, when you're a bystander watching someone being harassed, like, sometimes that allyship is the most important thing. But right now, who are you really protecting?
Yeah. Right. I mean, that maybe is the thing, is this doesn't have any, like, this woman is not forcing other people to interact. Let's say it was just a white woman in straight up blackface
as her first picture on the.
Yeah. And
if
you know,
seen
and
other
I think
pictures of her first, you wouldn't have thought that. So this is her first picture.
I think the evidence, also suggests, like, if you're gonna engage with somebody like this, if you're gonna say, hey, don't wear blackface, just do 0.1 seconds more research, click one more photo or whatever. Because it's because this is like so from the hip. This is just what is that, blackface? I object.
Yeah.
And then closing the window and going on your merry way. And then, like, just think
getting
about how
message
dumb.
Back.
This is, I'm black, you dumb motherfucker.
Look, I think that this speaks to a larger issue of all of us. I'm guilty of this myself. When I want to jump in and help someone that I feel I have a greater voice than, or somehow that I can be of assistance, of just not doing research and not taking a minute to say, like, should I be the one jumping in to defend them right now?
Yeah. Am I right?
Am I right? Is this more complicated than I think it is? Should I kind of sit back and see how this plays out for a second before I stick my neck out? Or should I just like quietly talk to someone else and it's maybe more their thing to jump? Like, I go through that stuff all the time.
Yeah, but none of that was there because, again, it sounds like it was instantaneously able to get to the bottom of this. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
There's that.
So this reminds me of when Seth Rogen's weed company came out. I mean, this happens all the time online. This was just the first example I thought of. And there were so many comments on his first post that were like, interesting that you're a white man selling weed. Wish you would talk more about incarcerated black people who are incarcerated for weed selling. And there were so many replies that were like, he does. He donates to it. No, he talks about it. Yep. And it was true. Like, you clicked on the link he had sent, and like right on their website or whatever was like, not one of the first things, but very easily and quickly found was like, yeah, we're addressing this issue. So there's lots of that. I feel like everyone who tries to do anything gets a bunch of people going, wish you would consider the implications of X. And it's like, no, they did.
Which is also, but it is just like the value. If your allyship doesn't extend to doing one second of research, it's just how valuable is it really?
Then we don't need ya.
Well, yeah. Or just be a little, be 1 second better and then 1 second better again. And then pretty soon you'll be a whole minute better.
Wow.
I feel like my metaphor doesn't make that much sense.
I agree. Having like one person in your life that you can, I think you'd be comfortable with me saying this, Apodaca and I will regularly check with each other of like, does this email seem dickish to send, or does responding to this tweet mm-hmm. this way seem bad? And like, we just are kind of those people in our lives that will just like send a quick screenshot of like, what are your thoughts on this? And then we'll give each other a thumbs up or be like, I would take out the last two sentence or don't send it at all. And so just having someone that could like, you can check in with is helpful because sometimes, I don't know, you may think something's coming off good and then someone else reads it and they're like, that's not how I would take this if I was that person. But
someone else reads it and they're like, I'm not in blackface, I'm black.
Yes.
And you're like, sorry, well, you know, I ran it by Apodaca and he told me to send it.
He said send, I agree.
Oh, Lord. All right, should we get to
the second voicemail?
Another one? Yeah. Caller, I don't know if we helped you. I'm sorry. I think you feel about as bad as you need to feel. And, and
that happened 10 years ago, still haunts you at night.
I feel like you could feel slightly worse, but I have confidence you can get to that feeling. So do that on your own time.
Hi, Andrew, Tani, Matt, and any other guests I happen to be on today.
Fucking Matt.
Actually just was recently traveling, and I realized that they took away my lotion at TSA because it was over the 3.4-ounce limit or whatever. And then when I got to the hotel that I was staying at, they had no lotion available, which I feel like most hotels usually have that. And I was really just like ashy for a couple of days. I'm a black woman. So the more I was thinking about it, the more I just was starting to wonder, is travel in general kind of racist? I also am African, but my name tends to sound kind of Arabic, and for the last 20 years, I've always gotten stopped for the extra screenings. So I was honestly just calling to hear about any experiences you guys have had while traveling, and do you feel like it's racist that we can't bring on, you know, certain amount of liquids and gels and such when black people want to stay moisturized. So thanks, guys.
Love it. Oh. Love it when a caller has a clear axe to grind.
Even more.
Yeah. There isn't even like a question.
No. Is going from your house to somewhere else inherently racist? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, caller, I so enjoy you.
So
I mean,
yeah.
The lotion thing in the hotel, I do believe that 99% of hotels were not designed with black guests in mind because their shampoos and conditioners.
Many
are
of
trash.
Them were designed explicitly without black guests in mind.
That's true. Yeah, the types of amenities that are in there are often not the types of things that most of us use. So that's just one example of like the people designing these places don't have super diverse teams because they don't have someone on the team to say like, hey, this type of shampoo is super bad for, you know, kinky yeah. textures or whatever. So that I'm with you on. I don't know that the TSA limiting liquids is racist. I also don't want to be ashy, but I mean, I just check a bag.
Yeah. It's like racist in the sense that, like, you know, they're not really concerned about theater. They just want to, you know, have an excuse to shake down, you know, people of color. I feel like, you know, it's that travel isn't racist. It's that everywhere is racist. And travel is where you deal with, like, people of authority.
Mm-hmm. So because you've left your house, the answer to your question is yes. But
yeah.
But I often think
about
the
theme of this show.
You've left your house, so yes, it is racist. But I often think about, not to like, you know, be fucking a TSA apologist. I think about people traveling, like backpackers traveling carry-on only, who are white, who are going to tropical destinations. And I'm like, ooh, you do not have enough sunscreen. I know you don't. And when you get to that developing nation, sunscreen is hard to find and very expensive. So that's a way that our white brethren are discriminated against.
Yeah. Good.
Because I wear a lot of sunscreen too, but I think about sometimes I'll see pale little gals in line with me on their way to Peru or something, and I'm like, damn, you need way more.
I know you don't have enough. Kit, or this is me like not just revealing how little like sort of general maintenance Andrew puts into himself. Isn't it just the size of the bottle? Like, couldn't you bring like 30 like little lotion bottles
if they're limited in the little to a quart sized bag, see-through bag, so you can't bring like 40 of those. And you got toothpaste, you got all kinds of stuff.
I know,
hide you the sunscreen toothpaste? In the toothpaste, you'll anything never know.
Anything spreadable. You know how I found this out? I tried to bring hummus.
Oh no.
I said, hummus isn't a fucking liquid. And they said, anything that's spreadable. So I'm like, okay, so peanut butter, but not regular butter from the fridge. I could bring a stick of butter if it's from the fridge.
The fridge. My little dynamite stick. I can't bring my fucking dynamite stick on the...
It's just butter. I'm baking a pie as soon as I land. How dare you? Mm-hmm.
Gotta keep it frozen.
This is anti-black auntie.
Yeah. Auntie. But it's like all the rules of everything are on some level racist, and that's why you just notice it when you travel because you have to like you go through things like TSA and
for sure
the airlines, and you are putting your life in people's hands. They have authority over you, and that's why it feels so pronounced. That's what I would say.
I think so too. And the caller mentioned that their last name has caused some problems for them, which I'm sure you are not inflating. You're probably downplaying it a little bit because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that 100%.
Oh, man. Friend of this show, Sarah Haji, had such a funny tweet.
Oh, my God. The best tweet I've seen today. I laughed out loud.
A quote tweet. I'm pulling it up, but it was basically...
Please pull it up. Read it verbatim.
One of those people who was like... Oh, where is it?
Also a comedy person, I should say. I don't think they're being fully serious, but they said, those of you who get to the airport 2 hours early, who hurt you in your childhood? And Sarah quote-tweeted it and wrote, 9/11, buddy. It's the buddy that really gets me.
Oh my God, so hard to find. She's so Canadian.
Oh boy. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, look, we're not really doing what you asked, caller, because I'm sure there's plenty of stories Andrew and I could say about, like, racism while traveling. Yeah. Maybe that's for another episode.
I will say this. I don't think any of my stories are that interesting. Like, they are there, but they're like the, like, people assumed I was with the Chinese person ahead of me, or, you know...
Yeah.
That time in Colombia that we talked about where the guy kept yelling Jackie Chan at me.
Jackie Chan at you? That was pretty bad. And my dumbass, I thought he was saying like Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan or something. He was doing like a little rhythm.
It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great.
It was bad. there was a time when I was on this weird boat because I have like flying issues. So sometimes I'll like take a 25-hour fucking boat. So I was on this boat from Barcelona to Rome, and it was in like 2015, and there were a bunch of migrant folks from like Tunisia and from Africa coming to Italy, and Italy was having super like racist immigration laws trying to keep them out. Anyway, the boat was full of Spanish and Italian people, and I think I was like the only visibly black person. And I mean, I got pulled aside and like just the most thoroughly screened by folks who weren't really English speakers, so we couldn't communicate. And it was not until I pulled out my fucking iPhone to like try and translate something that one guy goes, "Oh, American," and like pushed me through. But there was a real assumption like, oh, this must be a person who snuck on here. And I was like, huh, that's not something that I've encountered in the States anywhere, because I look like I'm from here.
Ugh, our fucking planet is pretty racist. And that's why we always have a show. And you can support that show by going to suboptimalpods.com.
Help us
keep doing what we're doing. Oh, no. The other plug was I did... a former producer of this show, Yusong News podcast this week.
Mm-hmm. Millennial Shelter.
Oh my God, Millennial Shelter. Thank you, Kevin.
Oh my God, you don't even know the name of it.
Well, yeah, but we did go into it. We talked quite a lot about, you know, arguing with people online, essentially, like what mm-hmm. the value of it is, what I see, you know, you're the response to like, you'll never change people's minds by, mm-hmm. you know, in my case, calling them racist or whatever. And it's like, well, maybe that's not the point. Maybe it's some of the point. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably pretty wrong, but listen to figure out the way in which I'm wrong. That's the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm wrong, but how and why?
Mm-hmm.
Also part of it. So yeah, did that. Suboptimalpods.com. Did you guys know about suboptimalpods.com?
This has got to be a record.
It's where you can listen to episodes of Yo, Can We Live, our premium show, for just a small monthly donation. Or this week, if you subscribe to the Suboptimal Bundle, you can listen to a watch-along, a Star Trek Lower Decks watch-along, which...
Yep.
Probably more of you listening to this are here for than maybe I realized. I don't know.
Me and showrunner Mike McMahon talk you through season 2, episode 1 of Star Trek Lower Decks. It's good if you're caught up, but we started with the first episode because you could technically watch it and not have to be caught up. Or you could just be a stone cold freak and just listen to the audio. Do whatever you want. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in the bundle now. We had so much fun. I'm going to try to do more of that with some of the writers and other producers and folks. You know, just watching as fans. This is not mm-hmm. an official Trek podcast. That's my mm-hmm. disclaimer. Just a couple of fans watching a thing they worked on.
Yes. 3-3-2-3-3-8-9-7-2-2-3. That's 3-2-3-3-8-9. Race.
Race.
Race. We're doing backup podcasts.
Yeah. I'm Trondi Newman. That's Andrew T. You can find Kevin at Kev Bartelt or Kevin J. Bartelt. And follow the @suboptimalpods Instagram to find mm-hmm. out stuff. And you know, that's free. Following mm-hmm. is free, and we don't post that often, so we won't flood mm-hmm. your feed. How about that? If you can't subscribe, go follow.
Extracts a mental cost, but that is it. Not a monetary
What are you
cost.
Doing, Andrew? There's no mental cost. Make it easy for people. Good Lord.
No mental cost.
Goodbye.
Text me if you incurred a mental cost. Bye. This is suboptimal.